This is Warrior Sound, streaming 24/7 on the official Warriors app and at warriors.com/sound. Now we'll listen in to a recent episode of Beyond the Arc with Warriors radio play-by-play man Tim Roy. For the setup, here's R.C. Davis.
When the commish comes to town, you drop everything and roll out the red carpet. Who better to roll out that red carpet for Adam Silver? The voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
First of all, welcome to the Bay Area and welcome to Chase Center.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here and long anticipated, and I got several tours along the way. I think my last was 80% complete, and this is the first day I've seen it 100%, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good, wonderful venue, and I understand that you had to stand next to yourself at Hooptopia.
I tried not to look. I don't know about you. I've never liked looking at myself on monitors or anything else. So it's a bit surreal. But most importantly, Hooptopia is just a dreamland for fans of all ages. And I even put on a harness and dunked a basketball. And I think that was the first time in my life I really dunked a basketball.
Wow!
So it was fun. I got to experience what it's like to be an NBA player. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty cool. And we're thrilled that you're here for opening night. What a year for the league! So many players changing positions and teams, and I spent part of my last month or so just making sure my rosters were updated in the correct way. It's an exciting time.
It is, and it's a new time in the league, and we're seeing a fair amount of player movement, but most importantly, we're seeing tremendous competition across the league. Obviously, your Warriors are still incredibly competitive. Nobody's counting them out, but you got a bunch of other teams in the West and East that are truly competitive, and you know, it's we continue to work with our players and the Players Association on designing collective bargaining agreements that support the best competition. But also at the end of the day, management means a lot. And I'd say here in now San Francisco, you've got an incredibly well-run team. And your team will be competitive. And now with this new building, there's no doubt that players are going to love playing here. I got a chance to see the practice facility and the weight room and the new locker rooms. I mean, just for anyone who's in this league and has been around it for a while, this is as good as it gets.
No question that this building and having everything in one spot is going to be huge for the franchise. The last 5 years for the Warriors, do you think we're too close to truly appreciate what's happened?
I think we're all too close. I sometimes, even in terms of the player skills, I just to give it some perspective, Bob Cousy, who's now got to be 90-something years old, you know, one of our all-time greats, said to me last year, he had just watched a Warriors game, and he said, Adam, he goes, people don't realize how good these guys are. He said that especially, I think he was talking about Steph in particular, and he said his shooting skill, like when he's 5 feet behind the three-point line, and it looks like he's flicking it with his wrist and his accuracy, he said, I just don't think there's sufficient appreciation. When I hear people critical of the game or talking about it, what it was like in the old days, they just have no idea. And maybe that's always the case. It's hard to appreciate something in the moment. I know for your team, and I've listened to some of the players, you know, whether you've interviewed them over the summer, other podcasts, just talking about coming out of 5 straight years in the finals. I think when you're living through that, I'm sure there's an element, it's exhilarating but also exhausting. And I think for all of us in our lives, if you're working so hard at what you're doing, you don't even get a chance to read the things that people are writing about you. You're living it, and it's hard to put in perspective. But, you know, there's no doubt already this Warriors team is going to run down in history of one of our greatest teams ever. And the core is still intact, and they're still on a run. So, you know, who knows where they're going next.
Chatting with the Commissioner Adam Silver, I'm Tim Roy here on Beyond the Arc on our flagship station, 95.7, the game, the league. And I think one of the great things about basketball, to me, the first thing has always been the teamwork part of it. Five playing as one can beat five playing, you know, just for themselves. But also, you know, as you pointed out a number of times, it's, other than soccer, it's probably the one game that the whole world can play. And I know the NBA is now going into Africa, and that's exciting because we've seen so many talented players come off that continent.
Exactly. In fact, now we have roughly 40 players in the NBA who were either born in Africa or one of their parents was born in Africa, you know, and so with a league of roughly 450 players, we're getting close to 10%. So there's an enormous amount of top-notch basketball being played on that continent. So we've been at it for decades in Africa, but now I think we've made an even bigger statement in that we're launching a league in March, a 12-team league, a Pan-African league. So I think we're going to see a lot of excitement around that, in addition to the camps we continue to hold, Basketball Without Borders. So, you know, our strategy, of course, we're focused on elite players, those players who may have a chance to play in the NBA, but ultimately to really grow the game, you need programs that reach the masses, you know, and a lot of that you can do it through digital applications, through all kinds of content that we're using on the continent. So I'm particularly excited about that. But, you know, we continue to build the game throughout Asia, of course, in China. You know, we shouldn't forget about Europe. I mean, you know, an enormous amount of high-level basketball is being played across that continent and Latin America as well. So while soccer remains the number one sport in the world, we're gaining on them. And I think just the last piece I'll say is that what you also see with the sport of basketball is that populations are moving more to urban centers. And I think it's where a game that doesn't require, of course, large playing fields is more adaptable. And I think also with the issue of basketball, of course, if you find a playground, you can play by yourself, you can play one-on-one, you can play two-on-two. So it's there's increasingly, and I deal with governments around the world, they're very focused on the fitness of their population. And this is a great sport for boys and girls to get fit and to learn how to work together and respect each other and follow rules. And so there's just a lot of positive factors working in our favor in terms of the growth of the game.
I ask players and coaches this all the time, so I'm going to ask you the same question I ask a lot of them. How did you fall in love with the game of basketball?
So I fell in love with the game of basketball as a young boy. I grew up outside of New York City, and I was a Knicks fan as a kid, and I played. We had classic hoop in our driveway, and I played the playground in elementary school and then into high school. And really what happened too, I think it created a bond between my father and me, because my parents were divorced when I was about 9 years old. I lived in the suburbs with my mother, and my father lived in New York City. And one of our main activities was my taking the train into New York City and going to Knicks games with my dad. So I think there's always a special place in my heart for the sport.
People don't understand, if you grow up in a cold weather place, you're playing two-on-two in the driveway, the ball goes in the snowbank, you got to wipe it off on your sweatshirt, whatever it's available.
And you got to shovel the snow first before you play.
Yeah, exactly. What's one thing about your job that people don't know about, or maybe a couple things that people don't usually associate with a commissioner?
Interesting question. I think that putting aside the really fun stuff, handing out rings and going to games, I think it's more, in many ways, it's more of a traditional business job than people might think. I mean, at the end of the day, we're a media company, and I spend a lot of my time negotiating media deals, sponsorship deals, dealing with the licensed products, the Nikes of the world, the company like Fanatics that sells our goods online. But it's also very much a relationship business. I spend an enormous amount of my time traveling these days. Just this preseason, you know, we played for the very first time in India. So Kings and Pacers, we played in Mumbai, India. Then we played in Tokyo, first time we were back in Japan in 20 years, roughly. And then we were back in China again. So a lot of my job, it feels a little bit ceremonial sometimes, that it's showing up. But you know, it's partly, it's I understand, having been in the league a long time and having worked for David Stern, it's less about me. If you have that title commissioner, you know, you're a representative of the league, and it's meaningful when you're there. And I think I have that perspective, having worked in the league for 21 years or so before I was commissioner. But at the end of the day, it's you know, we run an office with 1,200 employees. It's big, but it's not of the magnitude of some of the brands we're compared to. But it's just getting through the day, dealing with HR issues and finance issues, just like
any other boss. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Final question for you. What storylines are you excited about this year?
I'm most excited about the competition. At the end of the day, I mean, that's what draws fans into our game. They want to see great competition on the floor, and I think they want to see rules that continue to evolve that allow our players to show their extraordinary skill and athleticism. And I think that's, I think as I look at where the game is now, compared to maybe where it was 15 years ago, I think we made some really smart adjustments in the game. It got to a point where, at least, I think generally people thought that it had become too physical and that players, sort of bangers, had too much of an advantage. And I think what we saw coming out of that was the ability of a players like Steve Nash, you know, and then of course to a player like Steph Curry to be able to, you know, they're still incredibly strong and physical, but it be able to showcase this incredible shooting, incredible ball handling. So that's what I think at the end of the day draws fans to this game. And so we always, as a league, we have a strong competition committee of coaches, GMs, owners, and we're always looking at the rules. You know, we have some new emphasis on traveling this year. I mean, if you ever sat next to me in the stands, that's something that fans make very clear to me, that we haven't been doing a good job calling traveling. So one thing we want to clarify the rule for everybody, because sometimes they think players are traveling and they're not. You know, we have a new coaches challenge. I'm kind of excited to see how that goes. And, you know, we're always just looking at aspects of the game, finding ways to make it even more exciting.
Adam, we're thrilled that you're in the position you're in. You're great for the league and haven't been around the league a long time. We appreciate having you there. Thank you so much for the time and best of luck.
Tim, thanks for having me. Have a great season out here.
With a listen in to Beyond the Arc, I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound, the voice of Dub Nation.